All right, the last few weeks, how many of you tuned in online, whether it was at 10:30 Sunday morning or some other time during the week, and you saw, I saw Megan's post, Krister and his family, like, I was larger than life because they have a projector and it was on their wall. So you see like Leo and Aiden like this, and then I'm like this on the wall. And so some of you tuned in, and it's all right if you tuned in during the rest of the week. But you heard a message, our new series, A Place for Everyone, that we as Stockholm Community Church long to be a place where everyone is able to come and to be a part. Why? Because the mission of the church is this, to lead people to an authentic and life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why we exist. That's why this church exists. Not so we can become comfortable, not so we can feel good, but we as a church exist so others can be led to an authentic and life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Does that say anything about ourselves? It says everything about them and about him. So in the conversation and what I talked about in our two online services, it was the first church business meeting. Anybody been in a church business meeting, whether back home or here? A meeting of the church people. I know I have. I remember one night going as a little kid and bringing this new blanket that my grandmother had made that you could fold up and it became a pillow. We brought that to the church business meeting as little kids because we're just like, a lot of little kids. We didn't pay attention up here. We just kind of went down here. We did our coloring and then we went to sleep. But I also have been a part of some other meetings as an adult that just, most of the time they always went smoothly and they were grand. But there was one that I remember, and things kind of got a little heated in the name of Jesus. But we looked into the first church business meeting, the first large disagreement of the church, where they said, some folks were saying, hey, before these folks can become part of our church, they need to do this. And we realized and understood that the first leaders of the church said, no, we can't do that. We can't force people to become like us. These Gentiles cannot become like us Jews. Jesus, the Holy Spirit, has been in and through them. And so we as a church, I don't believe we're like that. I don't think we're that way at all. I feel very confident that we are welcoming and our arms are open and willing to receive anyone. But we also have to just make sure we're aware. Because as individuals, are we shutting ourselves off to people? Or are we welcoming them in? No matter what their thought process is, no matter if we agree or disagree. Because, we're human, so we're always going to disagree. There's always going to be discord. But it's as followers of Jesus, can we work through it in the name of the Lord? Can we allow the Lord to work on our own hearts so we can be in the right mind? So we can't put limitations on people before they come be a part of the church. Yes, we're always going to teach the truth. We're always going to teach the entire Bible front to back. We're not going to do it in condemnation, but in grace and truth. Because let's also be honest, we've all been extended grace. We've all been extended mercy in our own failures, in our own failings. And so we're going to give the same measure that's been given to us, we're going to give out as well. So this morning, we're going to continue on in that series, A Place for Everyone. How many of you ever have put together a puzzle before? I know I have. This is one of Elijah's puzzles. It's a giant floor puzzle. And so when we put this together, I'm a father, I'm a guy. It's like, all right, Elijah, this is how we put puzzles together. Not just dump. Well, we dump everything on the table, right? And then what I usually go, okay, Elijah, we want to understand what we're doing. So let's separate the straight edges, these flat pieces. Let's move them to one part and then push all the other pieces aside. How I do it, we want to know what's the outside so then we can fill in the middle, right? At least, am I the only one that does that? No? Okay, a few of you do that. But before we ever start putting a puzzle together, what do we really honestly do? Sometimes without even thinking. Yeah. What is this puzzle going to be? Oh, it's Noah's Ark. It's a giant boat with some fish and other animals. Is there Noah on there? No. I've looked at this so many times. There's no Noah, but it's all animals. So we look at the picture, right? Because we want to know, what are we putting together? Yeah, whether this is a 32 extra large piece puzzle, or maybe we decide to go all crazy and we accomplish the 1,000 piece puzzle. We're all going about, right? But we look at the picture to understand, what is this puzzle that we're putting together? And for us, we are looking at what is the church? If we want this to be a place for everyone, well, what is the church supposed to be? So what's our picture? Well, we have it right here in Acts chapter 2. We talked about this the other day. In Acts chapter 2, it says this: they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he or she had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the original church. This is the picture on the box of what the church is to look like. It's the first picture of the church. The first image and idea of what we have recorded in Scripture of what church looked like. This is the original, not a replica, not an attempt to remanufacture. How many of you have ever watched the movies about art theft? I have. There's one that with Pierce Brosnan that I can't remember the name of it, but it oftentimes, huh? Yes, the Thomas Crown Affair. I just kind of sort of remember it. I don't know remember what the movie was about, but in all these art movies or like National Treasure, you get the people that know the real art, and you bring in the specialists that look at the supposed real one and the other real one to see which one is the replica, which one's the fake, which one's the true image. And oftentimes we have churches trying to replicate or recreate what churches, what they think it is supposed to be. But the actual truth, the reality is we have what church is intended to be. And this portion of Scripture, Acts chapter 2, should be our litmus test. It should be the key, the answer phrase that we look to are we doing church correctly? This church was raw. It was organic. It was something new. They just needed each other. To them, each other was a priority. It wasn't necessarily about singing songs. It wasn't necessarily about taking up an offering. But it was about being together. Now I realize we live in a society where, and we live in here in Stockholm, sometimes it's very difficult to get together. Right? I mean, many of you had never been to my house for almost 5 years. Why? Because I live so far away. Or at least it felt like I lived far away. And you needed a car to get out there. But now, since September, we're much closer, and there's a bus, and it's only 300-meter walk, and it's easy to get to. So we can be together. But then we also realize some of you are in Gröndal, and some of you are farther south in Tyresö. Some of you are up north in Upplands Väsby or Taby or Bro. So we're so far spread out sometimes that it can take you just an hour to get here on a Sunday morning. So we realize those quote-unquote limitations, but we also understand the Bible, the first church, has called us to get together, to be together. And so as we explore that, as we dive into that in this coming year, we're going to seek to understand how can we as a church create more opportunities for us to be together. Yeah, we have the technology of online, but maybe some of you are saying, hey, I live in the South. I'll open up my home once a week. I'll have people come get together. We'll read the Bible together. We'll pray. We'll have fellowship. We'll break the bread. And some of you up north go, yeah, let me open up my home. I'd love to have people come over. It's okay, you know, is it okay, Pastor Brandon, if I haven't vacuumed the floors this week? Sure it is. Not a problem. It's life together, right? These folks didn't just go to church. They were the church. They didn't go to church. They were the church. So we also have to understand, we are the church, not this building, not our new location in 5 weeks, but we are the church. So when you invite someone to church, you're inviting someone to be with you, to experience what you're experiencing. You're opening the window of your life up to them so they can peek in and understand, okay, who is this God that you say is a part of your life? So the original church didn't go to church. They were the church. So we as the leadership here, Stockholm Community Church, we believe Stockholm Community Church is this, a church where, as I talked about the last 2 weeks, everyone is welcome. This week I'll talk about where everyone is known. I'll dive into a little bit on where everyone is needed. And the next week as well, our brother and our friend Derek is going to pick up on the second half of everyone being needed. And he's also going to talk about where everyone is changing. Not changed, but changing. Which implies what? Yes, a continuous process. A continuous process. Because we all are sinners and that have fallen by grace. When we come to know Jesus, we accept him into our lives. And we yield control of our life to him. Sometimes, you know, we're human. We take back some bits and pieces. But the Bible calls us, it's called what the theologians, what the Bible smart people call sanctification. Sanctification. Meaning a continual process of being saved. That we are giving more and more of our life over to him. We're becoming more and more perfect like him. There's a song when I was younger, it's called Refiner's Fire. My heart's one desire is to be holy. But the idea and the imagery of Refiner's Fire, you know, if we take our gold, if we take all the gold that everybody has and we put it together and we start melting it, when the gold melts, it's not going to just stay gold. There's going to be this black junk that floats to the surface. In their terms, in goldsmith and blacksmith terms, it's called dross. It's the garbage. So you have to strain and pull that off the top and throw it away. And then you turn up the heat a little bit more and some more of that dross, more of the garbage comes up. And that's the same thing with us. The refiner's fire. God is the refiner of our life. And we are put into the heat sometimes. Sometimes that's the difficult situations in our life or the circumstances we're going through or the thoughts and feelings we're experiencing. But God is trying to bring out the garbage of our life so he can scoop it away. That way we can become more pure and more holy as he is. And so it's a continuous process. We are being changed. We are changing. Sorry, Derek, I'm getting into your stuff. But all right, so let's back up. Let's back up. So we've talked about where a church, we are a church where everyone is welcome. So today we're going to talk about first where everyone is known. All right? Can everybody say everyone is known? There we go. Everyone is known. So our scripture is this, Acts 2:44-46. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. It's pretty clear from this scripture, everyone was together. They met on a regular basis. Years ago, before our family, we moved to Stockholm. In about 2012, I stepped down from my current youth pastor position and entered into a season of brokenness, heartache. I just came out of a really tough time. It was a second tough ending of ministry for me. And I kind of just had, in a sense, my second round of just kind of giving up, but not really giving up. It's like, you know, Lord, I'm giving up on you, but yet I kind of know I'm not really giving up. You know, it's like you break all the strings except one, so you kind of stay somewhat attached. But it kind of went through a really difficult season. My attitude, my behavior, my thought process, everything just kind of was garbage. But we still tried to go to church as a family. And we sometimes like, hey, let's use this as an opportunity to visit other churches. You know, being a pastor, you don't ever get to visit other places. You don't get to see how other people are doing things. So let's go and be a part. So we started going to some different churches. And, you know, just like we here at Stockholm Community, we have the connection card. We want people to connect with us, right? And it takes them filling it out for us to connect. And I do a pretty good job at that. Some weeks I'm not the best, but I do a pretty good job. Giving a phone call or sending a text message. But it's like I kind of got this little ornery side in me that just started, I'm going to fill these cards out to see who actually, which church actually gets in touch with me. I probably filled out like 5 or 6. Guess how many churches got in touch with me? Zero. Did that do good for my attitude and what I was thinking and experiencing? No, it did not. But it's just like, I want to see, do people really mean what they say? Hey, we want to know who you are. We want to be in touch with you. We want to welcome you into our home. Okay, let's see if you're going to actually welcome me into your home. Here you go. No. I mean, we did get one message because we signed up our daughter in the kids' church, and they said, hey, thanks for Amelia for being a part of kids' church. So there's that, maybe half a point. But just looking back, okay. So for me, it's like I remember the sting of filling out information and really feeling like, okay, I'm not known. Do I have to actually plug in? Do I have to become a part of something before people actually know who I am? Because that's how it felt. But that's not how we want Stockholm Community Church to be. Someone shouldn't have to join Propel or join Momentum or join our weekly WhatsApp group to be known, to be seen, to be heard. When they walk in on a Sunday morning, they should feel seen and heard and somewhat known. Yeah, not everybody's going to share their entire life story within the 5 minutes that you have over Fika, but do you feel a connection? Do we put ourselves out there to get to know other people? Everyone plays a part. Now, let's be honest. I'm trying to do my best to make the rounds, to say hi to people. I had this ambitious desire when I first started as the lead pastor of the church. I'm gonna have coffee with everybody in the church. I'm going to make like 3 or 4 appointments every single week. And I got burned out fast. I realized I was losing out on my time to prep the message. And if I was prepping the message, then I was losing out on time for my family, and realized I can't do everything. As much as I want to, I like coffee. And let's be honest, a few weeks ago, you understand, I need the excuse to have a bula these days, right? I want the Budapest. I want the desserts. I want, you know, let's go have some fika. I want to do those things more. I want to meet you more than having the fika. I want to do those things, but I can't do it all. I can try to get around on a Sunday morning and say hi to the new faces that are here, but sometimes they slide out pretty fast. So who's there to help me? You all. Because is this my church? Or is this our church? It's our church. It takes all of us to help others feel known. Psychology says that it's not just one or two connections that help someone feel connected, but it's 3 and 4 people that help us feel connected. So I can't just be the only one saying hi. Our greeters downstairs can't be the only ones that are saying hi. It takes all of us to help others feel known and welcome in this church. This is a community that we can't build by ourselves. We need each other to help build this community. And we can't be known. So there's two sides. We as individuals, we have to reach out. But there's also the other side. We have to also be willing to be exposed, of a sense. We have to be willing to be vulnerable and authentic. That's why I also tried to just be unashamed. Hey, my kid's the one that's running around causing the mess. It's authenticity. It's real. It's life. It's who we are. We're not trying to be something greater than what we are. We're just trying to be real and transparent and honest. I mean, the other night, I had Megan and Derek were over because we were talking some stuff. And my kid, my son, God bless him, was just going 100 miles an hour. 100 miles an hour. And Angela was out with some other people. And so it was just me. And I'm trying to balance having honest conversations with these guys and trying to like, son, I need you to calm down. And eventually it's like, hey, Stephen was watching Minecraft. And it's like, hey, Elijah, do you want to play a game too? Yeah. He's like, okay, great. And he took my phone and went and played Heyday or something like that, some weird farming game. I don't really know. Yeah, Bjorn's into it. Yeah. You into Heyday? All right. But then it's like, oh, I don't hear anything. I'm having real conversations with Derek and Megan. And so I go check on him, and he passed out. He fell asleep. It's like, okay, that's why he was a bit crazy. That's why he's like, ah! Just all of a sudden, right, guys? He was just like, ah! I think he's trying to get attention, but, you know, but we're just real. We're authentic. We're vulnerable. That's part of this process of being a church is we also have to open ourselves up to that, okay? Because we want to be a church where everyone is known. We get to do our best to go as far as we can to help people feel warm, welcome, and invited and known. But they also have to reciprocate as well some. So let's go as far as we can. If that's the edge, if that's where they are comfortable going, let's go all the way to the edge to help people feel welcome and known and seen and understood. Can we do that, church? Can we continue to keep our own arms open and embrace people? That's why I said, you know, whether you want a hug or a handshake. You know, whether it's a hug or a handshake, let's welcome and embrace people. Right? Yes. So we are a church, Stockholm Community Church. Not we will be, we are a church where everyone is welcome, where everyone is known, and thirdly, where everyone is needed. You are all needed. We are all needed in this place. So here's one of the pieces of this puzzle. As you can see, they're pretty giant, big puzzle pieces, right? Now, if I were to take this and somehow manage to lose it, and then I said, hey, guys, let's put this puzzle together, could we still put the puzzle together? Yeah, we could still put the puzzle together. And would we go, oh, it looks great and it looks complete? Would we feel confident that it looked complete? No, we wouldn't. Because there's that one piece that is going to be missing, which turns out to be a corner. So it's right on the edge. It's missing, and our eye's going to be like, we're missing a piece. And sometimes we as a church think, oh, if I don't do my part, it's okay because there's so many other people. They'll just fill in the gap. They'll just get along without me. How many of you have ever experienced a puzzle sliding in and filling in the gap for the missing puzzle piece? Yeah, sure, Stockholm Community Church could probably get along if you didn't do your part, but we'd also know there's that piece missing. We'd also be longing and wanting you to be a part. Acts chapter 2, verse 45 says, selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he or she had need. See, the church took care of each other. That's how they made everyone feel a part. There was a need. If there was a need, they met it together. And for us, in missing pieces, there's two sides to this where you are needed. There's two sides to this coin. There's the support side. There's the action. There's the support, that's the finances, and then there's the serving. It's the action side, and Derek's going to talk about that. But today, I'm talking about this, tithing, giving, finances. We don't do this much, so I'm going to do it today. we needed the finances. For all of us to do our part, we need the finances to continue to grow. Our ability to grow is only limited by our financial ability. Right now, we got the basics covered, and that's good. We have the basics covered. We have our rent. We have all that stuff. But if we long and desire to go farther and to do greater things for the Lord here in Stockholm, we have to also increase our finances, because our kids' camp that we're going to do in August is going to cost us a little bit. We have a team that's coming, so we have some manpower that's going to help us out, but we also have to buy some materials. I mean, how many of you guys saw that thing over the last week about the, in Scotland, the Willy Wonka experience, where people bought tickets to go see this Willy Wonka thing in a warehouse, and they showed up and it was, felt like a sham. All right, a few of you are smiling. So anybody else see that? So do you guys know what I'm talking about? These folks bought these tickets to experience this Willy Wonka type environment and atmosphere in a warehouse or something similar to this. And when they showed up, it was like a few balloons and some poor decorations. But the pictures that were they were sold on made it look like this fabulous, colorful, bright, fun, exciting place to be. And it was just a few decorations and a lame blow-up toy. I mean, we could have just a few decorations and a blow-up toy for our kids' camp. But is that going to draw the kids? Is that going to make them excited to want to come back to bring their families? No, not really. Do you realize when we had our kids' camp 2 years ago, we had four families come to our church because of it? What if four more come in August? What if eight? What if 16 come? We don't know the growth that God's going to bring because we're trying to reach our kids. We're trying to invest. So I'm just being honest. We need finances to help make that happen. Not just our normal, what we are making every week, or not making, but what you are giving. But we need more than that. We need the above and the beyond. And so we need the tithe. In the Old Testament, tithe is maser, which means one-tenth. Malachi 3:10 says this, bring the whole tithe, so bring all of your one-tenth into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. So in the Old Testament, the children of Israel brought what they had, their one-tenth. So most of them were farmers, or they were shepherds. But you know, if you had your carpentry, your builder people, everyone would bring the first fruits or some of their goods that they have made to give to the church, or the profits from what they sold and give to the church. Why? Because the Levites, that was the tribe of Levi, was taken care of by the other 11 tribes. The people in those tribes gave their, whether it's their fruit or their vegetables or their sheep or their goats or donkeys or the proceeds from selling a table, they gave it to them. That's how that entire tribe survived, was by the other 11 taking care of them. So God said, hey, in order for the priests to be taken care of, the Levites to be taken care of, the rest of you all just need to give one-tenth, a tenth, 10% of what I have already given to you to help take care of them. This is an act of obedience in honoring and following the Lord, that we are to bring our tithe, our tenth. Now the New Testament ups it and says, not just to bring our tithe, but to our abundance and give to the Lord. So that's why we talk about tithes and offerings. Tithe is the beginning. Offerings goes above and beyond. So we give to missions. I spoke to one of our missionaries that we support this week in Israel, in Tel Aviv. And just the stories that he's telling about how they've opened up their home. Tel Aviv has no real Christians in there, in Israel. And they're just open their home and people are coming in and having coffee. His wife is teaching English. They have 17 families coming to their home on a weekly basis just for community to understand and just to feel loved. They know that these folks are Christians, but they're not pushing anything. They haven't started or planted a church. They're just welcoming people in. That's a missionary that we support. And I heard some great other stories about how he's going to go into sports. I love baseball, and he's going to start a baseball program. The people of Israel love baseball as well, just like us, like me. I'm very excited. I was ready. When can I come? Because I want to play. I probably would hurt my shoulder throwing the ball, but But just hearing the great stories of, they're just loving on people. They haven't started this great grand church, but they're loving people because why? Life change happens in community when you meet people, when you do life, when you live together. So that's what they're doing. So part of your offerings, your above and beyond help support missionaries such as himself. And they're going to create a video and just introduce themselves to the church, to you guys, so we all can understand what they're doing. But it's an act of obedience to give our finances, our tithe to the Lord. Because I've seen this, and God works miracles in 90% when we trust him with the first 10%. He works miracles in 90 when we give him the 10. So many of you know our story. We're here. We're leading this church, but we're also getting funding from the United States. So here in Sweden, we're pastors. In the United States, we're missionaries. That's what we did the last two Sundays. We were raising support. And God provided in great ways. And there's some churches that are going to partner with us, not just to support us, but they're going to support the church. They're going to help invest. I've made some requests. Hopefully, we're going to get a better camera so I don't have to use my phone to record everything. They're hopefully going to help us out with some different signages and different things that we want to do to help as we launch into our new venue space. But we had to go do this fundraising and support. And most of you know Angela's job ended in December. December 31st, she was done. And so now we're financially relying on what we get from the United States, my job that I have every Monday, and then the small paycheck that we get from the church. That's what we're relying on. And it's not enough. It's not enough to cover all of our bills. Well, it isn't enough to cover the bills, but then we don't have the gas. We don't have the food. We don't have the above and beyond to make the everyday life happen. So we've been living by faith for 2 months now. And it's not been easy. It's not been easy at all. We made it to the U.S. because I had paid for that already in October. And we have funding for those trips. But in January, we got to January 25 and we paid the bills. And said, all right, God, for the rest of the month, what are you going to do to help us out? Because we're trying to live by faith and not by fear. And that day, a family member of ours gave us 25,000 crowns. A Swede gave us 25,000 crowns. All right, God, you showed up. You showed off. You provided for our needs for the entire rest of the month. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I paid all the bills before we left February 23rd because everything was due, you know, February 25, right? So I set everything up to be paid. It's like, all right, God, you got control of this. It's all for you. I wake up, what was it? Must have been like Wednesday morning. I woke up Wednesday morning. You know, I have my phone set on silence. Or all my notifications turn off from 10 to 6 in the morning. So I'm sorry if you're trying to get a hold of me from 10 o'clock at night to 6 in the morning. It's not really going to go through. Don't call Angela, though. But some all of my notifications all of a sudden get flooded at 6 o'clock in the morning. So whenever I woke up Wednesday morning, there's a notification. I've received a swish. What? Who's swishing me? I'm in the United States right now. So it's like, okay, curiosity killed the cat. So I logged into my Swish history. Someone swished me 20,000 crowns. This person had, I talked to them this week. This person had no idea. They just said, my wife and I, we felt the Lord saying, hey, give. So they gave 20,000 to the church and they gave 20,000 to us. Thank you, Jesus. So for 2 months now, God has provided. And on Friday, when I set for my tithe to go out, it's like, okay, this is easy. No, it's not. This is easy. No, it's not. All right, God, here's my tithe. I'm giving you my tithe. And I'm trusting you for the rest. We had some money saved up so we could have our fun. But it's like, all right, if we use all of our fun money, what are we going to live off when we get back to Sweden? God took care of it. So in reality, this talk of tithing is not something that I'm just asking you to trust God in. It's something that I have to trust God in too. I'm living it out every single month. And I'll be completely frank and honest, it is not always easy. There are some nights we lie in bed and just go, should I just get a different job? Should I go find a job? Or Andrew's like, I need to just get a job. But right now, in this moment, and in this season, we feel like the Lord has us in this path of not working. For Angela to not have another job. So we have to trust. We have to live out that faith. So I, as your pastor, am not asking you to live out anything that I'm not already living out. So please don't walk away going, okay, they just want my money so they can get a better paycheck. That's not the case at all. Okay? Everybody hear that, right? I'm not asking for your money so I can have something greater. I just want you to obey. And then we trust God for the rest. I want God's blessing in your life. I want to hear your testimony. Somebody just swished me 10,000 crowns, and I don't know why. But God knew what I needed. When we had a missions team here in November, some of them had raised funding for their missions trip, and they had about 10,000 crowns left over, so 1,000 U.S. dollars left over. And they said, Brandon, we want to give this to you to be a blessing. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Appreciate that. Turns out, God knew in advance that my winter tires that I had were garbage and that I was going to need new winter tires. And guess how much it was? 10,000 crowns. I can't wait to hear the stories of what God's going to do in your life because you've trusted him with the 10% so you could see the miracle in the 90%. I mean, Derek shared several weeks ago about his miracle. I can't afford not to give. We serve a great God, church. He is our Heavenly Father who gives good gifts to us, whether we deserve it or not. He still gives good gifts to us. So I want to encourage you, trust the Heavenly Father. Trust him. If you haven't started tithing, start at like, say, 5%. See what God does with your 5%. And then say, all right, next month, maybe it's 2 months. Maybe it's 1 month, maybe it's 2 months. After that, say, okay, God, I'm going to push my faith a little farther. Maybe go 7.5%. Or just go all the way to 10. But move forward in that act of obedience. Don't just go, I can't trust God with 10. Okay, then start smaller. Work your way up to 10%. Because when I go to the gym, I could do the 45 kilos, not a problem. But now if I go back to the gym, I got to go down to 25. Because I haven't done it for a long time. So I got to build myself back up to 45. So build yourself up to full obedience. Start small and work your way up, okay? I just want to encourage you with that. I also want to encourage you with this. Let's do this Bible plan this week. Because next week, Derek's going to be talking about serving, so we're all needed. So let's do this. Serving is also part of generosity. So let's do this Bible plan together, okay? I would love to do this 5 days. It's only 5 days. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We're going to do a Bible plan together. It's called Being Generous with and Without Money. Okay, just so you don't feel like we're trying to suck you from money. Again, that's not what we're about. But we want all of us to live in lives of generosity. So let's join this Bible plan. Let's start to get together tomorrow morning and do this Bible plan together. How to be generous, being generous. So what are the takeaways? What are the two things that I want from you? I hope that you walk away with, not what I want, what I hope you walk away with today. First, I hope that you walk away today and say, Lord, what part do you have for me here at Stockholm Community Church? What part do you have for me? Because next week after service, I'm going to host our first ever Serve 101. For those that have not been a part of a team, this is going to be our onboarding time next week after service. We're going to put it together right over here, and we're going to get you involved. Because Derek's going to talk about serving next week. But be prepared. Get ahead of the curve. Do the homework ahead of time. Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I be a part of Stockholm Community Church? And we're going to talk about that next week after service. 10 minutes, maybe 15, because I'll talk long. Number two, let's get in the Word this week. Join this Bible plan. I'd love to have all of us be a part of it together for just 5 days, reading how can we be generous together with and without our finances. Can we do this? Can we partner together this week? Can we pray together this week? Lord, what do you want me to do? And Lord, let's pray, let's get in the Word together. How can we be a generous church with and without our money? Yes? This is our altar call right now. No music, no fanfare, no eyes closed, heads bowed. This is our altar call. Can we join? Yes? All right, let's stand together and close in a word of prayer. Father, we just come to you today. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your joy. Thank you for peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Lord, this morning, I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would begin speaking to each and every one of us the thing that you want us to be a part of here at Stockholm Community Church. Maybe it's a recommitment to a specific ministry, or maybe it's jumping into something brand new. But Lord, we need each other to be able to move forward. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray you would speak to them about how you want them to be involved and what you want each and every one of us to do. Lord, I also pray this week as we dive into this Bible plan of being generous together, Lord, that you would just grow all of us together, that we would all be challenged to stretch just a little bit more so we can become closer to you, so we can understand the greater things that you have for us. Lord, you have unmerited, undeserved blessing in store for us as we act in obedience to you. So thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you will do in and through us. We love you, Jesus. I ask these things in your name. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being here. I hope that you have a great week, and so do the rest of your brothers and sisters here. Why? Because Sunday's here. Make Mondays better. Have a great week, everyone.